Hallöchen, Vivi hier und in dieser Folge spreche ich mit keinem Geringeren als Callum Scott. Ihr kennt ihn safe von diesen Titeln hier. Und Achtung, bitte holt die Taschentücher kurz raus. Oh mein Gott, Leute, ich habe so krass Gänsehaut, nur von diesen kurzen Ausschnitten. Wie gesagt, ich habe mit Callum Scott gesprochen, denn er hat ein neues Album am Start. Avenoir, wie sich das anhören wird, was da drauf ist, das besprechen wir alles in diesem Interview. Und er hat mir ganz exklusiv was verraten. Er wird nämlich dieses Jahr noch in einer deutschen Fernsehproduktion zu sehen sein. Welche das ist, das erfahrt ihr hier in der neuen StarTalk-Folge. Viel Spaß beim Hören.
Der Energy StarTalk. Eure Stars im Interview.
I'm trying to send flowers to my best friend because it's her birthday today. And today, 15 years ago, is when I went to her birthday party, and that's when we became best friends.
Aw, that's so cute.
So yeah, so I'm trying to ask her husband. I'm like, what flowers say, thank you for being my best friend for 15 years and happy birthday?
I think no white roses. I think that's funeral or something.
Yeah, maybe red roses, but that's a little bit too romantic. So maybe just something maybe just something beautiful.
But that's very nice of you.
I try.
All right. So let's start. Welcome, Callum Scott. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much. The first time.
It's the first time. Good to have you here. But it's your first time here in this building, right?
This is new, right?
Yeah, it's new. We moved.
It's very nice. It still has that smell. That new smell.
Yeah, true. Yeah. How was your day so far?
Oh my God, so good. I have loved being back in Germany. Mm-hmm. I've been here for just under a week. I've been doing a secret project that I cannot tell you about, but it's been so fun. I've just really enjoyed being back and having time in Berlin. And yeah, I love Germany.
Okay. I'm going to test how good are you in keeping secrets, but maybe later.
Okay. All right. I look at my manager. He looks a little scared right now.
No. It's fine. It was a joke. Okay. So I did a little research, of course, because it's my job as well. Right?
Okay.
So
you've
been in a Maroon 5 tribute band. I love that so much because you know what? My first celebrity crush was Adam Levine.
He's a very good looking man.
Still. Or even better. I don't know how he does it.
He ages well, like a fine wine.
Super much.
Yeah, Adam Levine is he was a big inspiration for me growing up. You know, that was the kind of music that I used to listen to in that pop genre, right? So I was just like super inspired by him. And then whilst I was trying to find out what my voice could do and what it might sound like and what I might be able to sing, I was just super inspired by Adam that he could sing, you know, something like She Will Be Loved, but then could also sing rockier songs and, you know, and then all the pop stuff with like Payphone and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think he's just he's an all-rounder.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're still a fan?
Still a fan. Still not met.
Okay.
We did a festival.
Never?
No, we did a festival, I want to say that Romania or somewhere, and he was headlining and we were supporting. So I said like, and they were like very much like, oh, Maroon 5 are like, they're in a different part of the building, whatever. So I just asked my tour manager, could I meet Adam? Like, do you think that we could have a picture? But they, as soon as they went on stage, they finished, they're in the car, they're gone. So they're like a unicorn. You never see them outside.
Wow. But I hope you're going to make it someday because
that would be so good.
Yeah.
That would be so good.
Maybe we can do something. I don't know.
I think you should. I think the magic of NRJ will be able to bring Adam Levine and Callum Scott closer together.
Why not? So what I really liked about it was that the band was called... Say it.
Oh, God.
Please.
Maroon Vier.
Maroon 4.
Maroon 4, yeah. There were four members of the band.
Yeah.
We did some maths.
Simple as that.
We did a minus one. Yeah.
I really, really loved that. I really laughed when I read it. Yeah. But okay, so you're here for your new music, of course. No Maroon 5 or 4 songs.
No,
it's you
no,
today.
It's all Callum Scott.
And you're going to release a new album.
Yes.
And of course, we have to talk about the title.
Yes.
Can you please say it? How it is called? Yeah,
this is something that I didn't consider until I started talking to people, and people were like, what is it? Avenoir? Yeah. It's called Avenoir.
Avenoir.
So it has a little French,
Okay.
Avenoir.
Okay.
And basically, Avenoir is... I mean, it's a long story, so you need to maybe take a seat. But the long story short is that I was doing a lot of reflecting whilst I was making this album, and I was thinking about how far I've come in my career and how far I've come in my personal life. I've overcome so much. I still reflect on sad times and heartbreak like we all do, and that kind of built the stepping stones for the album. Mm-hmm. But for me, Avenoir was, I was scrolling, doom scrolling through Instagram, and I saw this word Avenoir, and I was like, oh, I've never seen that word in my life before. And I did some research, and it was from a book called The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows by John Koenig. And John basically says that Avenoir is this, it's this desire to want to be able to see your future, basically see your memories coming towards you. And so I just thought, you know what? Like, I've not been able to see these 10 years since I auditioned for Britain's Got Talent. I've not been able to see anything, you know, touring with Ed Sheeran, singing for my king of England, you know, being asked to perform with, you know, Christina Perry and Leona Lewis, and going on tour with The Script, and all of these incredible things I never, ever thought possible. And I think not knowing kind of makes it magical.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I wanted Avenoir to be a plea for people to live in the moment and to enjoy every moment and not worry too much about the future or not worry too much about the past, but to live in the moment whilst we have it.
Yeah.
It's a little deep.
It is not a little. It's super deep actually. Yeah. So are you a person, I mean, it's super hard sometimes to live in the moment.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So are you a person living in the past, in the future, or in the present? What would you, like, how would you...
I feel like I'm a time traveler. I go between. Sometimes I'm sat in the past and I go, oh my God, like, especially when you think about music and I think about the amazing songs that I've had, that have had, you know, a great amount of success, you know, my version of Dancing on My Own and You Are the Reason, and Where Are You Now with Lost Frequencies, and all those great, amazing songs. And you tend to think, oh, will I ever have that again? And you worry, you use the past to worry about the future. It's like everything kind of fuses together. But, you know, the more and more I think about stuff, the more I think, you know, if I worry about it, it's not going to change the outcome. So I just think to myself, you know, I need to just make the music that I love, make the music that my fans are going to enjoy, and just live and just enjoy. And then if I put it out and it doesn't do, you know, billions of streams or whatever, then that's not really the point. That's not why I got into music. So I think it's just, and it's difficult. It's difficult to live in the moment. You know, we've all got issues. Yeah. We've all got worries. We've all got bills to pay, you know, so I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying, like, life can change so dramatically quickly. Mm-hmm. Just live in the moment. Tell the people that you love them. You know, take the moment to give your mom an extra squeeze before she leaves. You know, like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Your album will be a lot about love and a lot about regrets as regretting things.
Yeah.
And that's why I was thinking, okay, regrets is a past thing.
Sure.
So you look in the past and you are like, oh shit, I shouldn't have said that or done that or whatever.
Yeah.
Are you like a person who regrets a lot? Because I thought for myself, I'm not at all. I'm like, regrets make no sense at all. Why? I mean, of course you have to learn from your past, you know? But to really regret things, you can't change them anymore. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, I need some therapy from you because I definitely have regrets.
Yeah.
I think I'm the kind of person, I'm so emotional. So that works against me. I mean, I get to write beautiful music, which is great, but sometimes I can be too emotional and my logic goes out of the window and I, like, why would they say that when they know that I'm, you know, stressing out and I'm getting upset and then I say something I don't mean, and then I calm down and I go, oh, that was a bit shit. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And I do regret, but I think, you know, we need to be, you know, moving forward. We need to just kind of make peace with the past and just go, whatever it is, it's done. So yeah, you might need to become my new therapist.
Okay,
I think that's what we're thinking right now.
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds simple, of course. Yeah. And every time I say that, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm so wise.
You know?
But yeah, it makes no sense. I mean, apologize for doing something wrong, but then it should be fine.
And then learn from your lessons, I guess. Yeah.
I think it's the way it is. But okay, let's keep talking about the album, the music. There are two songs already released. One of them is Good God Knows.
Yes.
Are you like a religious person? I don't know that actually. Because
I don't know is the answer. I don't know. I think God Knows kind of challenges me in that way because, you know, it says it in the lyric, but it's a stereotypical thing that when something is out of your control, mm-hmm. you kind of go, oh, please, God, you know? Mm-hmm. And even though I've not necessarily been a strictly religious person in the past, you still feel that you sometimes surrender yourself to the divine, to the atmosphere, to the universe, you know? And so I don't know if I am religious or if I'm more of a spiritual kind of person. Mm-hmm. I just believe in doing good things and putting good things into the universe. And, you know, I think God Knows, for example, is definitely that regret of being like, I did something, I pushed this person to the edge, now we're done, and now I just want to turn back the time. Like, how, you know, how God knows how I'm going to do this, you know? So it's... It's pretty desperate, this song.
Yeah, kind of.
But I feel like that's why the vocal, you know, we have that huge key change. Like, I'm a massive fan of all the music that I listened to when I was younger, you know, with key changes in. And for some reason, key changes stopped happening in music. Mm-hmm. I think people thought it was maybe a bit cheesy. And now it's coming back, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like I wanted to put something in that you, when you're listening to the song and you're listening to the lyric, you go, oh my God, yeah, it just feels so like desperately in love mm-hmm. and wanting to change things. And then that key change just kind of gives you it even more. And you're like, oh my God, it speaks to your heart, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a tough one to sing for sure.
Yeah. And like also Die For You, those both songs.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you feel a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when I said I'm an emotional person, I wasn't kidding. Do you know what? Die For You is something that's been kind of in the locker there for maybe 3 or 4 years. It was written kind of around COVID time. Mm-hmm. And we just needed the right time to release that song, you know? It didn't really feel like it lived on Bridges, which is my second album. And I felt like I had songs that spoke to that, you know, biblical and heaven. And I kind of had that unwavering love already on the second album. So I kind of left it. And then when we were putting the third album together, it was kind of the missing piece of the puzzle. You know, of course I want to experiment and I want to push out my comfort zone with the new music. And there are songs on this album that definitely do that. But then, you know, there's songs like Die For You on there that just speaks to your heart. I have another song on there called Gone, mm-hmm. which is, you know, very much about how fragile life is. And you never know when the last kiss you're going to share with your partner or the last time that you, that it was actually inspired from me talking to my producer. And I said, he has two young girls. And I said, isn't this crazy that one day you'll pick up your daughter and you'll give her a cuddle and then you'll put her back on the ground and you'll just never pick her up again.
Mm-hmm.
You'll just never do that. And it's like the same time when you feed your kid, there'll be one last time that you do that.
Yeah, but you don't know it.
And you never know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's about savoring those moments and enjoying those moments. But yeah, I feel like there's some really deeply emotional songs on this album, but then there's some songs that you wouldn't even think.
Yeah.
I have a song on there that's a little bit sexy.
Uh-huh. Which one do you mean?
Peripheral Vision, it's called.
Yeah. It is.
I mean, it's like I say sexy, you're going to listen to it and be like, what? But it's sexy for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a little bit, it has more of like a Prince vibe. It has more of like a sass. It has more like of an energy. Mm-hmm. It has more of a sexiness in the lyrics. So yeah, I'm excited to get sexy on this album.
Okay. You look like this is kind of new for you.
I mean, yeah, very new. Did you see the face? I was like,
yeah.
It's new, but do you know what? I like, it's like a cheering says, you don't learn anything by being comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, the second that you push outside of your comfort zone, it's like this project that I've been doing here in Germany. It's new and it's daunting and it's scary, but it definitely pushes me to want to be a better person. I already feel like I'm bringing more. I feel like I am more confident.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, with the new music, doing something that feels slightly out of my comfort zone and doing something that feels different, it challenges me and it makes me go, oh, am I cringing right now? I don't know if this is great, but I think you play it to so many people and they go, actually, this is a new side of you. Like, it's cool. Sometimes you just got to kind of sacrifice yourself to the unknown. And I think that's where you really grow as a person.
I don't know if you need me as your therapist, actually.
I could do with some therapy.
That sounds so healthy and good, what you
Thank
say.
You.
Like, even there you can teach me something, because I struggle with connecting to my feelings and emotions.
Okay. Yeah.
More, of course, the bad ones, how
yeah,
we
yeah.
call them,
yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah.
sad ones. How mm-hmm. do you do that? Like, or comes
oh,
it natural?
Yeah, it comes too natural.
Okay.
I mean, I wish it didn't come as natural as this. I am connected to my feelings all the time.
Okay.
And sometimes it's a great thing. Like I said, I'm in a job where I get to kind of connect to how I feel and write it down onto paper, and then I get to share it with people, and you realize really quickly that this isn't just my story. You know, it's not just my experience. Millions of people around the world feel, you know, feel lonely, feel like they have an issue with the way that they look, feel that they've lost somebody and they don't have the words to express, you know, all these things that we all go through as humans. But it just means that doesn't really switch off.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I go home and I haven't seen people in a while and I'll be so excited to see them and they might be busy. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm back and they don't want to see me. And it's like, Callum, calm down. Just get your emotions to calm down, because you know, people, life still goes on when I go on tour, you know. So I'm connected all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah, sounds a bit hard, but I think it's a good characteristic.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I still take therapy. I still think therapy is a great thing for anybody. I think talking to somebody and getting things off of your chest even is just such a good thing for your mental health. But I still take therapy, and I'm learning to channel my feelings, but it's just not easy.
Of course, of course. But I think it's, in your position, it's good to be like that, because your music is inspired by your feelings.
I just think it makes me, if you know, when I was going through a lot of mental health issues, when I, you know, if I could see an artist talk very openly about how they felt as well, that might have given me more confidence, and it might have made me feel like I wasn't so alone in how I felt. So I just feel like now I've had that experience and I have a platform, I have radio, TV where I can talk openly. I just feel like if there's one person out there that goes, oh my God, that's my story. Like, he feels the same way as me, and that makes them feel better, I've done my job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you write love songs, but did you ever receive a love song?
Or
a poem or something like that?
No is the short answer.
Not at all.
I've received some beautiful things from my fans, of course. I've received mails and poems and songs and stories and like things that they've made. But nothing from a lover, unfortunately.
I think no one does it anymore.
No. Nobody stands outside the house with the hi-fi system. You know, nobody sends anonymous bunches of roses anymore, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, we can be romantic, huh?
You do it for your friend.
Like I just said, trying to get a bunch of flowers to send to my best friend of 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, we got to keep romance alive, guys.
Yes, we should. So is it easier for you to write these kind of songs, like romantic songs, love songs, or like the happy, good vibe songs? What is easier? What would you say?
It's always hard to write a happy song. I find it so difficult to be fun and happy, but not cheesy.
Yeah, okay,
you know?
I see. Uh-huh.
When you hear like, clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. I mean, that if I wrote that, that would be cheesy as hell. But Pharrell he pulled it out of the bag. It's crazy. I think it comes down to authenticity. And I think if you can be genuine in the way that you write and the way that you feel, the fans feel that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like on this album, of course, I had heartbreak and I had loss and I had doubts and reflected that way. But then I also felt like I'd achieved a lot and I had triumphed against a lot, you know. So there are songs on there that feel great, like Roots is a really sort of upbeat song, which kind of came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were trying to write a ballad. We're sat there going, how sad can we be today? And we're trying to write this ballad and it was just not coming easy, and I was like, oh, we're overthinking it, let's just take 5 minutes, go in the garden and just take some sun rays, and just chill. And then we started talking, and we were talking about the somebody had mentioned like a summer bloom, and we was like, oh, that's quite cool. And then we went back in the room, and the guy started playing on this whistle thing. And I was like, ooh, that's actually quite good too. And then we started writing this lyric, and I was like, let's not think about it. Let's not go, and what does the character think in this part of the story? It's just write it. And we ended up writing Roots really, really easily. And It was such a joy to do something fun, you know, and show my fans that I have that extra element of me, not just with Lost Frequencies and Felix Yane and Kygo and all these amazing artists, but I do it myself too. So it's been fun.
Yeah, I love that little like interruption on the album. Like your fans as well, they can't be sad all the time. They have to be like, you know, a bit happy as well. So
you know what?
Good,
the Scotties love to cry. The Scotties love to be sad, but they are stunning this new era of Callum quite hard. So I'm very happy.
Yeah. So let's talk about one more song because it's really special, I would say. You
yes.
know what I mean?
I think I have it has an artist on it that people might have heard.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the honours of my career to be presenting a song on my album, a duet with the incredible Whitney Houston.
It's amazing.
It's just been, the more I talk about it, the more I just go, is it real? Like, is this just like a practical joke? I have had the opportunity to duet on a reimagined song of I Wanna Dance With Somebody. This has been a song that I've heard growing up. It's an iconic song from an iconic voice, you know. And for me, I was already a fan of Whitney. We used to listen to Whitney on the way to school, on the way to swimming baths, on the way to all my friends' houses. My mum was a huge fan, so she used to play her music all the time. And so I've heard this song so much. And we were sent a song by the writers of I Wanna Dance With Somebody, and it didn't quite work, but we stayed in touch. And like I said, a very long story short, we were put in touch with the Whitney Houston estate. And Pat Houston, Whitney's sister-in-law, gave me the blessing to have Whitney's voice on my album, which is just ridiculous saying that out loud. It's just crazy. But it's honestly, it's one of the biggest moments of my career.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
If she would be here in the room, what would you say to her?
Oh my God, I don't know what I would say. I'd be like, do you like the song? you know what, when I was recording the song, it was really important for me for Whitney to start the song. And even though this is a song on my record and people might think that's a bit strange, it was for me the highest level of respect I could pay Whitney. She's not here to tell me whether she likes it or not. So I had to be like, you know what? It's her song, it's her voice. I don't want to get in the way at all. So she starts the song. And when I was listening to her voice, and when I came to sing on the chorus with her, I was just so mesmerized by listening to Whitney in this stripped back acoustic way. Mm-hmm. I just kind of forgot to sing. And then I was like, oh shit, can we go again? And so we had to like restart and whatever. And then I found it really natural and really easy. Mm-hmm. I was quite intimidated by the thought of singing with Whitney Houston, but then just having the opportunity was like, Gänsehaut. Like it was really, really crazy to share that space with her. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm just honored. It's a privilege beyond anything I could have. If you'd have told me when I was still working in my office job 11 years ago now, oh, by the way, like you're going to have an amazing career and you're going to duet with Whitney Houston, I'd have laughed in your face. And yet here we are with it on my album, immortalized forevermore, is just, really, really crazy.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And I can't wait like people to hear it because it's so special and your voices match so freaking good. Like really.
Danke.
Yeah, really. And when you hear it, it really sounds like you stood next to each other singing it.
Ah, thank you so much.
Yeah. And I can see actually that it's going to be the next wedding number one song.
I feel like I can see like this kind of swaying
and dance.
It feels like a first dance or walking down the aisle. And listen, this is a sad song. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to dance with somebody who loves me, but I think when you put that in a wedding format, that person's right there. Yeah, you know, right. So it kind of, it's even more beautiful by the fact that you can turn that sadness into romance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so. But I've done what I do best with this. I've taken Whitney Houston's song, which was happy and lively and fun, and I've made it nice and slow and depressing. So
I've nice and slow and depressing. Yeah, next album title.
The next album title's there. I've made it. I've Callum Scottified it.
Perfect. So at the beginning of the interview, you told me about a little secret.
Yes.
I don't know how much you can say, but can you please give us a bit of a sneak peek, maybe?
Can I? I'm looking at my team. Can I say anything?
It's embargoed until the voice is telling.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. So you can, but you promise
don't publish.
To,
yeah.
To air it until the embargo is finished.
Is this for the voice, yeah?
Yeah, for the voice.
I mean, if you wanted to...
That's what we were told, yeah.
Yeah, so we're just finding out when... I think they might be announcing in August, so like as in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, once we know
I mean, unless you want me to be like mysterious about it and be like, this is something I've always wanted to do.
No.
Okay, you just want me to be straight up.
No, because when it's time, we can send this tones of you. So, you know.
Okay, so I can just.
It would be perfect if we can just talk about it. And then we, of course.
Sure, okay.
Perfect.
All right.
Good.
Okay, I.
Sorry, one second. Okay.
Okay, so the team seemed to be okay with me telling you my secret. So this is something I've wanted to do for a long, long time. This has been a 4-year plan in the making. Every time I've been there, I've said, oh, I would love to be here more permanently. And eventually this year they said yes. And so I can confirm that I am the coach of the comeback stage by Sia on The Voice of Germany.
Woo! Congratulations.
Which is so crazy and so sick. And my time on the comeback stage has just been so amazing. I have incredible talents, you know, but more than that, what it's doing for me and how I feel about my role, you know, I've been on a talent show. I know what it feels like to go on. I know what it feels like to not win. I know what it feels like to come away from a competition like that and think it's all over. And so I think for me, the coach of the comeback stage was the perfect job for me because I see dreams coming through the door. I see human beings. I see ambition. I don't just see talent for me to win with, you know? And it's, of course, I want to win. But I really care about these contestants. And, you know, we've already said goodbye to, you know, 8 or 10 people already. And every single time I ask them to hang around and after the show, I come outside and, you know, I give them a hug and I say, like, we're going to connect. And, you know, I've invited them to my shows. And, you know, for me, Team Callum is forever. So, so these guys have already sent me really beautiful messages saying you were the best coach we could have wished for. And so it makes me feel like I've done a great job, but it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
Why though? Like in which way?
Well, I mean, as the comeback stage, I have 2 hot seats. And so I have 12 talents altogether. And so I have to, you know, somebody new comes and they challenge these hot seats. And so somebody might have defended their seat for a couple of days, a couple of weeks. It might be a brand new hot seat. It's just, you're trying to compare 2 talents for the hot seats. And it's, you know, sometimes it's impossible because they're 2 different artists, you know, two different voices, 2 different abilities. But ultimately, I have to take people through who I think are going to really relate with the German audience, who, you know, the people are going to pick up the phone and say, I want that person to win, you know. So I've got to, it's difficult, but I've got to make the right choices.
Yeah, but all in all, like, you give people second chances, which is amazing.
Which
I would
just feels so good, you know, for people to, it happened during the blind auditions and I was sat backstage and, you know, these people would come on and they would look so nervous and they'd sing their song and none of the chairs would turn around and I would just, my heart would be breaking. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. And then that's when my power comes in and I can go and take them for myself. So I feel like I got some amazing blind audition talent. And so, yeah, I'm just excited to see kind of who's going to be sat in those hot seats by the end.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Can you ever, like, imagine you sitting on the first row hot seat. I don't know, like this.
Yeah, chairs, no. When I got my first, when I first walked onto the set and I saw my seat, I didn't think I was going to have the voice seat, you know?
But you have one, like...
But I have one. Yeah, it doesn't turn. Oh. Yeah, it's budget issues, you know? It was either the turn or the lights. So I chose the lights. But you know what? I feel like when I walked out and saw my name on the chair, that kind of really made it real. And I was a little bit intimidated. I was a bit scared. You know, I've never done this before. And so for me, it was pretty scary. But, you know, after a couple of episodes, I kind of got myself into the rhythm of it, you know, and yeah. And I'm absolutely buzzing to see what happens next. It's, you never know. You never know who's going to come through the show and be phenomenal. And it's, yeah, it's crazy.
So cool. I mean, your life sounds quite perfect, I would say. Like, coming album, coming tour. We didn't talk about that, but I look at the time. So, yeah, we talked a lot.
Yeah, we talked too much. But, yeah, I'm touring, so come and see me.
Perfect. Okay, done. Check. No, like, what you said, the story with Whitney Houston with the song, like, everything seems quite cool for you.
I'm in a really lovely place in my life right now where I feel more kind of happy than I've ever felt before. I feel great as a you know, as a person, as an artist, as a brother and a son and a best friend. And yeah, I just feel like I'm, you know, at this age now of 36, ugh, ich bin Opa.
I'm 30. Like, I feel already like a grandma. I was at the CSD Pride Parade this
nice.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we walked a lot, we danced a lot, everything. Yeah. And my hips hurt. Why?
This is the 30s, guys. You wait till you're in your 30s. But yeah, no, I feel like the thing that you can look forward to as you get older is you get more wise. You start to experience life in a different way where you appreciate everything a little bit more. And yeah, I feel like at 36, I've achieved more than I ever thought I would. So I'm just super, super grateful.
That's so cool. And you don't look like 36.
Stop.
26.
Oh, danke, vielen Dank.
Callum, I wish you all the best for the future. Thank you so much for talking to me that open. And see you next time, hopefully. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Yeah, that's it for the interview.
Danke.
But we're doing a social media.
Some liners? Oh, okay.
Thing.
Now you need your headphones.
Okay. There were some parts of that were talked about as if it was, okay, I don't know when you're airing this, but if you're in it as an announcement for The Voice, I talked about it as a pre-record, but it wouldn't, as the show would be, it wouldn't be, right, Luke? We were talking about The Voice, but we were talking about it in a sense where I've pre-recorded it, but that's not how it would run on TV.
As in what
so I'd said stuff like, I have 12 talents. I've said after a couple of episodes. So those might have to just be...
Yeah, we can't... Yeah, because the viewers will see it as him taking talents week by week. So you'll never have 12 talents in one.
There might just be stuff that you have to snip out.
I mean, we cut it anyway.
Yeah, there's definitely things in there that don't talk about it being... pre-recorded all that
and
kind
to
of
be
stuff.
Like,
I don't know whether just on a safety you want to just give the I throughout the show I take talents from different, you know what I mean? And then
yeah, you want me to grab that?
Yeah.
Maybe just so that
because
if you talk about 12 as a whole, no one ever sees that as like, mm-hmm. I've got 12 people in the studio with him and he's got to whittle it down to two, do you know what I mean? It's week by week and episode by episode that you're...
Yeah, okay. Do you want to just say, are you excited to be...
in the show?
Yeah.
Okay, should I?
Yeah.
So Callum, are you excited to be in the show?
I am super excited. I think that this role of being the coach of the comeback stage is perfect for me. You know, I've been on a talent show. I know what these talents are going to go through. And so, yeah, my role is to go and take talents from the blind auditions, from the battles, from the fights, from various stages in the competition where they've had to say goodbye or they haven't been buzzed. That's kind of when my role begins and I can start taking talents and I can take them to the comeback stage where they have a second chance with me to ultimately try and get through to the semi-finals of the Voice of Germany. So it's really exciting. I kind of don't know what it's going to be like yet. I have been on the set and I have seen my seat. So I'm super excited. Like having seen it in lights was quite scary. I was quite intimidated. I've never done this before. So ich bin sehr nervös, aber ich bin aufgeregt. I think it's going to be a great experience. And yeah, I'm really lucky and really honored that The Voice have trusted me with this position. Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, now we got it.
There you go. if you snip that around the other things I've said, it'll be great.
I think we can send it to you before we...
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's play a game, a funny game. It's a ranking game.
Okay.
You might have seen it before on social media.
Okay.
Can you hear yourself well?
I can hear myself okay.
Okay-ish, because there's a little... You can put the volume...
Oh, just here. Okay, yeah, perfect. Beautiful.
Okay.
This is sehr gut.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to rank your own songs.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But you... Okay, so I'll play you one song.
Okay.
And you have to rank it and you don't know the other songs. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I rank it from one being the highest?
Yeah. One is best, five is low. It's going to be five songs.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. I climb every
Aww.
Okay, I mean, this one feels pretty obvious. I think this would have to go to my number one. It's the song that I really enjoy singing live every single time. It's the song that I got to sing on stage with Ed Sheeran, and everybody in the stadium sang it back to us. And I've sang it with Leona Lewis. I've sang it in French. I've sang it so many times, but I never bore of it. So okay. I feel like this, for me, has got to be my number one.
Okay, so number one is done.
Number one's taken.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm confident in that decision.
Okay, let's see. Next song. You're just like my favorite song
going round, round my head. See, this I love is just that one. A jam.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
You're having a hard time.
this is tough. I would probably put this in a healthy middle spot. Because I think I have an idea of what's going to be number two, but I think Where You Now has completely changed my repertoire. It's changed the way that I make music. So it's got to be number three.
Three.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Solid.
Next one. If the world was on fire, I'd fight it for you. Okay, I'm going to cry if we listen longer. So.
Yeah, we don't need that. Oh my God. I mean, for me, this is up there, but I'm going to have to put this at number four.
Four.
I know. It feels ridiculous. It feels insultingly low to put it at number four. But I think this is a beautiful ballad and I'm so proud of it, but I think I still know what's coming. So.
Okay, so we still have... Second and fifth.
Fifth.
Okay. Let's see. Next one. And I'm
giving it my own. It wouldn't be Callum Scott without Dancing on My Own, would it?
That's right.
This is an absolute gem. 10 years ago, I released this and it has just taken me all around the world. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd be stood here if it wasn't for my version of this song. So it has to
so
go.
So fifth. Yeah.
So we just won't put it on the list. This has got to go number two.
Okay,
this has got to go number two.
So the next one is going to be the fifth.
Oh,
are you ready?
Oh, no.
I think it's not a five.
No, it's not a five. It's at your worst. It's a great song.
Yeah, but the word worst is in it, so.
Yeah, so it's,
so makes
it's
sense.
At the worst. Yeah. Do you know what, though? That song is so good because it kind of was one of the first songs that we kind of wrote for the second album, third album. So it kind of set the tone for me to be a little bit more like, I can go there, I can do something a little bit more fun and a little bit more poppy. And yeah, so it doesn't deserve five, but...
Yeah. But yeah, that's one song the game. That's the game.
That's
but
the
you're
game.
Happy in general with the ranking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think You're the Reason has been my biggest song. You know, mm-hmm. that's the song that I had a little hand in writing as well. And, you know, to have sang that with some incredible artists and for it to have done a billion streams is just crazy.
Okay. Thank you for playing with us.
Danke schön.
Perfect. Now we got it.
Thank you very much.
Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.